Well, let's take our Bibles and let's head over to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, and want to deal today on thinking right about conflict. So we all have conflicts, as you know, and you have people, you have problems, right? And there's could be problems in the family, could be problems with your parents, could be problems with the children, but you have people, you have problems. Now, it's best not to have problems. That's where you want to live, and many times in Christendom, you can live without problems. You know, church being unified, a family being unified, but Paul wrote this so plainly in the Word of God in chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for the delicious meal during the brunch. Thank you, Father, for your richest blessings to be upon us, Lord, in this hour. And we just pray, Lord, that you lead and guide and direct our lives and help us, Father, be everything that you want us to be. And, Lord, we're praying your richest blessings to lead and guide and direct our lives. We can't do this without you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, in his epistle to the New Testament Baptist Church in Rome, was addressing basic Christian principles for our lives. And one of them is striving to live peaceably with all men. Now, you may say, well, you know, preacher, I want to think right. Well, if you want to think right, you want to have the right attitude, the right idea about conflicts. And, you know, conflicts can be a good thing. It's not all evil. It's not, I don't want any trouble. I don't want, but conflicts can be a good thing. It's an opportunity to teach, an opportunity to maybe help someone to turn from where they're going or what they believed to the truth. So Paul addressed all relationships publicly and privately. He's speaking about family, friends, enemies, and strangers. And we want to look specifically at family conflicts, yet realize that we can apply this to any situation. So the first thing we see is a case for conflict. And Paul states on the Holy Spirit leadership that people are going to have problems, and they're going to be, an opportunity for conflict to take place. But God's people will seemingly cause trouble just because they believe the gospel. So if you have a saved person and there's a lost person in your family or in the job or whatever it may be, there are problems. There's going to be conflict. Now, our Lord said it this way. He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." So peace should not be sought at any cost. We don't want to be compromisers. So there's going to be problems. And many times it comes between a saved person, lost person. And the message of salvation is offensive. The Christian life is offensive, and because it condemns the world. And they say, oh, you think you're better than I am. Well, we're better off. We're not better than anyone, but we're better off. I have eternal life and you don't. You're condemned already. So the idea is that we should not be offensive. We should not be the cause of a conflict. But the Bible says here in verse 18, if it's possible, if it be possible, and this implies difficulties, not always a possibility. So the truth can be seen in Matthew 5, verse 10 through 11. Matthew 5, 10 through 11. So notice, if you would, the Bible tells us here in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, you know, you have that, and then you have Matthew 10, verse 35, for I've come to set a man at variance against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, we find in different characters in the Bible who struggled with this. For example, Abel rose up against Cain. Cain rose up against Abel and killed him. And yet offenses must be avoided as much as lieth in you to avoid these problems. In other words, as far as it depends upon you, and you shall strive not to be offensive. So if there's a Cain in your life that rises up to kill your name or destroy you, whatever it may be, you got to rest with God in that and trust God. Persecution is going to come. But the idea is that we don't have to, we have to be careful with the words that we could say or our action, rolling the eyes, these type of things which can cause problems. Now, in other words, as far as it depends on you, you should strive not to be offensive. And so if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably. So we're to be peacemakers. We're to be peace livers. Now, let me tell you how that works. It doesn't work alone when everything's going well. Oh, yeah, I'm peaceful. Oh, I'm a peacemaker. I'm a peace liver. I'll do whatever I have to and so on and so forth. No, no, no. It means that when things don't go well. Now, part of Randy's sermon on Sunday, Wednesday, is going to be thou shalt not kill. You know the first step towards killing someone? Anger. Doesn't take place. No one goes up and kills someone. No one does that. There's got to be seething. There's got to be anger. There's got to be, problems. There's got to be things that are built up. And so it doesn't just happen that way. And I'll tell you something, it's a nasty sin to have anger issues. So we find here that we're to be peacemakers and peace lovers. Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So to live peaceably with men, one must, number one, avoid injury and wounding others by word or deed. Now, you may not think your words are harsh or caustic or mean-spirited. I mean, who thinks that way? Oh, I shouldn't say this. Oh, this is mean-spirited. Oh, this is, and yet say it. But there is something to be said about having the wrong attitude, not loving people, meeting their needs, being where they're at. It's not benevolent. It's not kind. It's not gracious. And second of all, to be patient when others injure you and overlook affronts from, in other words, they're patient when others injure you and to overlook affronts from others. So, there's another reason why people have offenses. And then number three, control the tongue. We can say terrible things with our mouth. The tongue is in a slippery place. And the Bible says out of it come clean water and poisonous water. And then to mind your own business. You know, there's things that people say, well, you know me, I just like to speak my mind. Well, don't. Shut up. What are you emptying your head for? It's not your business. So some people say, "Oh yeah," I said, "I'm not going to say anything." Well, there's a time and a place. That's why the leadership of the Spirit is so important in our lives, that God would lead us. But there's lots of things that's just not our business. Well, you know me, I just like to put my two cents in. Well, unless you got three, don't bother. So if it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Not only in the church, but outside the church. Not only with unsaved, but and the ungodly, but live peacefully with the saved. Don't compromise the truth. Live peacefully within your home and your marriage. So, again, this idea, this is where we want to concentrate in the home. But the idea of allowing conflict. Now, I don't know. I came to church. Brother Frank preached. Frank was teaching on Samuel, and the women got hit with Jezebel. Huh? Oh, boy. Anyway, on to another subject. So I really set the whole thing up. Listen, I don't know if I... Oh, I said teach it. Just teasing you. So not really. I did have a part. But anyway, the idea is that... I came to church, I saw some people, and here I am. But, for all I know, you may have had a falling out on the way to church thing. You, your wife, you and your husband not speaking to each other. Maybe, the business, and you're serving food, you're eating, and you have no time to interact with each other, but there are issues there. Well, let me tell you right off the bat, that you don't have to have issues. Amen. Work these things out. I'm going to give you the steps on how to do that, but the importance of thinking right about these subjects. So Paul and Barnabas had conflict in their fellowship over John Mark. Now, you say, well, I think Paul was right. No, I think Barnabas was right. Maybe God wanted them both to be right. And Barnabas needed to stay home with John Mark and get him straightened out and disciple him. And Paul went on with another partner. There's nothing wrong with that, because there's conflict, as long as it's not sinful conflict. The Bible says, "Let not your wrath." Whatever that guy said there. Yeah, let not your son go down upon your wrath. Be angry, sin not. So there's a balance. There's, and of course, everyone has the right anger, but there's a balance to it. And important of having. So Paul and Peter had conflict over Peter's double standards among the Jews. Frank mentioned that this morning. There was a double standard there. But Paul was right. Peter shouldn't have been two-faced. Isaac and Rebecca had their disagreements over their children and other things. Dave and his wife, Michael. Had issues. Now, we can disagree, which is simply a difference of opinion, primarily on intellectual plane. So, Liz and I, we differ when it comes down to food. Liz, for a good portion of time, made food as it benefited her. I know this is going to be offensive, but the idea is that she made the way, but that's the way I like it. I like it spiced. I got this new product. Some of you may know about it. I'm going to say it the wrong way. But it's the bagel toppings without the bagel. Is that what it is, Marcus? Is that the name? Oh, okay. I was going to say I was shocked. I finally got one right. What is it? Everything bagel. All right. So if you heard him, that's what. And I like it, but I'm telling you, I like it. I mean, you can go, outside the snow it falling and rain, whatever thing. I mean, I like it. I put a little dip, a dab. Put it on that thing, and then I'll have it all gone by the time I'm done with the omelet. So I like it that way. But there's differences. Liz likes a traditional meal. She liked the potatoes, the green beans, the broccoli, the chicken. My wife will say, oh, you don't want that, honey. It's going to be all over the, it's going to be all messed up. I know, I like that. So I like it. And if you leave the room, I'll eat it, But that's okay. I like the chicken with the potato, everything in the rightful place, a little gravy on each one. I like that. But, let's spice it up a little bit. Amen? But people get in different colors. You know, Liz has decorated the house real nice. My first apartment, I picked out the colors. Liz was not in Grand Forks. I was getting it ready. Guess what my color was for the living room? Hershey Kisses. It's dark. It's cave-like. I wanted a man cave. Amen? Hey. But Liz put me in my right mind with a lot of things. There's activities. You know, I don't like rides. I don't like carnival. I tried it when I was a kid and it was fine. But when I hit in my mid-20s, all of a sudden my equilibrium or whatever that was, that was thrown off. I can't even look at rides. I'm telling you right now, I didn't go around. Ugh, I don't want to see it. Then there's hobbies. You know, my hobby, I'm just telling you, I like the Yankees. I like the Jets. Where's Rebecca? Oh, there you are. What are you doing here? I thought you were over there. I like the Jets. I used to like the Knicks. Maybe it'll be good this year. That doesn't interest Liz. Really doesn't. She sits there and she goes, oh, yeah. But it's no brain waves going on. And so on. So the thing is this, we're going to differ. There's always going to be someone, I can think of one person in our house, not Liz, not Rebecca, but one person coming in saying, it's going to be terrible, it's going to win, and it's the stuff upstate. It's not on the island. I had the same thing with other children in my family. And, we're going to get hit with 12 inches, and I'm thinking, great, and turn on the news, and it's going to be a slight dusting, and Everyone has different opinions, that's what I'm trying to say. A conflict is difference of opinion that affects us severely on an emotional and rational level. And there's no greater distress more severe than that which comes from unsolved conflicts in a family relation. So you have, unresolved family conflicts. It's not right when we're supposed to be on the same page. Now, those other things, not a problem. Not a problem. Colors, food, hobbies, weather, these type of things. But when it comes down to being on the same page, that's where I want to be as a family. That's where I want to be as a church. And so it's important that we try to solve these conflicts. Now, usually there's two ways people deal with conflicts. They internalize it. They suppress it, or they confront it. Now, most people will, internalize it. Well, I don't want to talk about it. It's not worth it. It's not. It's difficult. It's going to be the same thing. He's going to yell. He's going to scream. She's going to yell. She's going to scream. I don't want the conflict. I just want to live. That's not the way to deal with it. Nor is it right to be boisterous about it. Well, this is the way we believe in it. But there's a way of getting it right. Here's in James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, fruit of righteousness is the fruit of peacemakers, not appeasers, not pleasers, but those who face conflict and work out peace. And that's what we want. We want to be peacemakers. We want to, as much as lieth within you, and as far as my responsibility, I want to live peaceably with all men. So we see there's three phases to marriage. There's the ecstasy, or there's endearment. This takes place during the early months, the years of marriage, when romance reigns and everything is beautiful, everything's right. He makes no mistakes. She can't do anything wrong. Wonderful. Either partner can make a mistake. Everything's just bliss. Then phase two, reality or conflict. Now, the phase which married partners are forced to recognize that they don't always see eye to eye. And they begin to realize that they're married to someone else and not themselves. And all of a sudden there's problems. There's opinion problems. I don't feel like that. My thoughts, I want to eat this. All these different things are going to happen. There's going to be a problem with opinions and faults. Well, you always think, no. They don't always do that. You never. Don't say that. It's not right. I'm telling you, it's not right. It's not right. Not right. Get that out of your vocabulary. You're not going to solve conflict with that. You're gonna now all of a sudden gonna push into a different level. I always leave my whiskers in the sink. I always do it. You know, you do it. Oh, never mind. Anyway, the idea is that they don't always do it. Even if it's one time they didn't do it, they don't always do it. And to say you never take out the garbage, you never do this, you never clean up in the house, you never, it's not right. And then the third one is, the third phase is could be divorce, could be an unhappy status quo, coexistence, two ships in the night, progressing, maturing relationship, or growth and development. Now, where we want to get to is the third one. We don't want divorce. We don't want to, you know, be unhappy. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you the way I'm wired, there is no way I'm going to have an unhappy life. I'm not. And nor is my partner, Liz. So we're going to get along. We're going to be happy. And if we have to sit down and grow, mature, develop, progress, that's what we're going to do. And we've done it over the years. All of a sudden, it doesn't really happen now at all. But there are times where I've closed the bedroom door and I said, we're sitting here, we're talking about this, so we get it. Talk to me. Let me hear this. What are you upset about? What are you upset? You know, why is this a problem? Why, help me understand those type of things. And that's what we did. We're going to mature. Now, let me just tell you something. It's crazy. And I mean that. It's lunacy to live your life separated in the same house. It's not a Christian house, or maybe there's one Christian there. But that's not the way Christian people live. That's not the way it's supposed to be. There's got to be a progression in your marriage. And that's how love stays alive. And that's how romance stays alive. That's how friendship stays alive. It's so important. So you've got to sit down and work these. Well, I can. He's a beast. No, I know. Anyway, but you've got to talk this thing out. Maybe he is a beast. Maybe she's the beast. We're not going there. All right. That's great. I'll live my life. You live your life, and we'll pay the bills. We'll split up the house later on. I'm telling you, I wouldn't live that way. I would not live that way. But what are your options? What are you going to do? Well, divorce is not right. Being unhappy is not right. God wants us to be holy, to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. So the only option you have, I have, is to progress, mature in relationship or growth and develop it. Now, the question we must answer is how do you become a peacemaker instead of a warmonger? Now, let me just tell you this. I think it's important. When you consider yourself I'm not a warmonger. My wife says I am. My husband says I'm really not. I'm not a warmonger. Okay. Maybe you're not. But I would bet you are. And I would say you need to listen to your voice. Need to listen to your how you behave yourself. Would you behave that way if you were in the middle of the church with people here? That's a good question. I'll even bring it down to a small group. How about if I was there? Now, you could not be stuffed from that salad. Unless you went out to Wendy's today. There's no way you could be stuffed. Are you with me? What's involved in preventing and resolving conflicts biblically? That's important. That's what I want to do. That's what Liz and I have done. We want to pinpoint the source of conflict. And that's really important. Because if you don't, you don't resolve the problem. What is the problem? What's your problem? Right? And you've got to answer that and be specific. So there's a case of conflict, the cause of conflict, and there's all sorts of different things. There's personality, there's perspective, there's value, there's age, there's experience, spirituality, there's gifts, abilities, there's interests, likes and dislikes, level of education, intelligence, there's training, priorities, values. So the concept of the family-marriage relationship is so important to have peace there. You know what I think of when I come to church? I think of peace. Amen. I do. I don't think we're going to have any problems, no conflicts, no issues, and if we're going to have conflicts, we're going to be spiritual about it. I do the same thing at home. A home, to me, is not a war zone. It's a time of peace. There's no conflict. Husband and wife roles and responsibilities are very important. And you gotta iron those things out. What's his role? What's the wife's role? Then there's occupational and professional objectives. There's finances. There's preference in recreation and leisure. There's church attendance. There's spiritual convictions. There's expectations concerning children and the number of them. That's something that should be discussed before you get married. And if you get married, you say, well, I just want to have two. She wants to have 10. No, you got to work this out. You got to talk about it. I don't want children. I want a bunch of them. You need to come to that agreement and be spiritual about it. There's the relationship with them. There's a reason for having children. We need to discipline and train children. There's ought to be social relationships, friends, friendship. There's sexual issues. There's proper behavior, etiquette, custom, tradition. There's philosophy of life. The relationship with parents or in-laws. There's values and goals. And how to make major or even minor decisions. You know, these are all dynamics that take place. Now, I don't know about you. My wife says, honey, what do you want to eat? I don't know. To me, it's a minor decision. It was a precondition before my stroke. I don't know what I want to eat. What do you want to eat? The other day, I'm telling you, first time in a long time, I was so hungry. I was so hungry. You know what Liz made me? She had some salad. She made that. There was, Bernie, hold your ears. There was raviolis that she made me. My sugar only went to 155. I don't know how that happened. But there was, it was so good. It was a whole bunch of stuff. And I just said, keep it coming, you know. But normally I'm not hungry, but I have to eat. So you've got to work these things out. And you've got to figure the thing out. Sometimes it's a problem with housing. Sometimes you want to rent. But again, these things must be worked out. And we've got to be spiritual about it. We've got to realize there's the Almighty God who's going to take care of us. And I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to rely upon Him. So let me go through this quickly. There are things that listed that bring out conflict. But they are most times something a little bit deeper. I don't know what it is. I couldn't put my finger on it. But lots of time there's a greater problem. And you've got to be able to deal with it. So let's look at this. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 through 16, the Bible says, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion in the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, that's what we should be doing. I'm serving. I'm going to serve my fellow man. I'm going to serve the household of God, my fellow man. I'm going to serve my family. And that's what we ought to be doing every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time in between. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I'm telling you, that is a wrong attitude to have in the house of God, in a family, with neighbors, with strangers. We're not to bite and devour one another. We should be pictures of love. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, Ephesians 5, verse 21. The Bible says, 5:21, it says, submit yourselves one another in the fear of God. I fear God, you fear God, we submit ourselves, and let's work on this problem. Notice verse 25. The Bible says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So God tells them we're to have this Christ-like love. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So God wants us to be this way with our thinking, with thinking right. So notice in Philippians chapter 2, that's a familiar passage of Scripture, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. So again, Christ-likeness, thinking right, spiritual-minded, servant mentality, serving your spouse, serving your children, serving others, humility, obedience. These things are so important in the Christian life. And you and I are not going to be successful in our Christian life if we're all over the board, if we're not living peacefully with one another. Now, notice chapter 4, Ephesians 4. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You're to walk worthy. You'll be found worthy. And how's that? Well, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So I'm to be patient towards the other person in love, with meekness, humility, these type of things, not only to my spouse, not only to my children, to church families, to strangers. So God tells us that the characteristics of diligence, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearing one another, this is all helps to avoid conflict in the family. Maybe you're mothering your husband. Maybe you're treating your wife like a baby. These are things you got to grow in. You got to develop. Maybe you're covering for your children. You don't do that. So the last thing is a cure for conflict. And let me give you a couple of things that will be done. You got to first of all define the conflict. what really is the cause of the conflict. Now, maybe it's, you know, it could be a lot of things, but it's not necessarily spiritual. And don't fight over it. Just say, you know what you're going to do? We come to this point, we're going to pray about it. I'll pray about it, you pray about it. Then have the other person define the problem, then you define it. And sometimes you'll come to an agreement, but you know what? You're going to put it off for a couple days. You may put it off till tomorrow. And you're going to pray about it. God's going to lead you. Define the areas of agreement and disagreement. Instead of demanding what you be heard, listen carefully to the other person. Here's James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to wrath, and slow to speak. So the importance of hearing each other out. Now, some people sit there and they want to, they're not listening, but they want to be heard. But that's not communication. That's not a dialogue, that's a monologue. And if you want to solve this problem in your family, your friends, whatever it may be, you have to listen. You have to listen. Get all the facts. And then, fourth of all, you've got to appropriate time. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And it's good to have a good word. Make sure that you speak with compliments. You know, I've done, and rightfully so, I regularly, and I mean daily, thank my wife. She makes my food. She takes good care of me. All the different things of someone who's recovering. My wife's been great. No complaints. No complaints. So what I'm saying is, make sure you have you're complimentary. Make sure you're giving thanks. You're saying good things to her, to him. Make sure that's so important. And then, number five. Remember, conflict takes two people. You're not right and she's completely wrong. You had a part in it. Make sure you're careful not to, cause problems. And then be determined to solve or resolve disagreements and conflicts. This is so important. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, you know what I'm going to end up with. But Ephesians chapter 4, so what I need to do is accept responsibility. Look, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Now, I don't know how our church is, but I know how humans are. And I would venture to say that doesn't come out very often. I was wrong. It's my fault. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have rolled my eyes. I shouldn't, whatever it may be. I shouldn't brought up your mother. You got to accept responsibility. Number two, you've got to adjust accordingly. You've got to make the change. Number three, you've got to accept one another. Look, when I said I do, how many years ago was that? Sorry? 40? Now, wait a second. 40 years. Wow. But let me tell you something. I'm still in love with her. How many people can say that after 40 years? And the Christian life works. It does. You got to accept that person. I said, I do. 40 years ago, I still do. Amen? And then last of all, you've got to accent the positives. So look, you hit a rut, you're in a problem, you got issues, your finances, your personal, whatever the thing is, you've got to work these things out. And let's start by taking a step forward. Don't worry about the past. You forgive each other, you move on. You've got to move on. So here it is. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, and with all malice. And be a kind one to another. Now, if something doesn't work out your way, there's no reason to find fault with that other person. Well, you know, I never did. I couldn't, you know, I didn't like him and I don't like her. And that's not right. To find fault? Don't do it yet. You two came to a disagreement. It's not going to work. You know, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So thank you for your time. I trust it was a help. And again, it's important for us to think right about conflict, that it's okay for conflict unless it's sinful conflict, and you don't want that. You don't want it. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one look around. And Father, we thank you so much for all the blessings we have in Christ. We ask you, Father, for your leadership of your Spirit. We ask you, Father, for your blessings. We're praying, Father, that your hand would be upon everyone in this auditorium. And Father, you help us to come to the right conclusions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I trust you'll respond as Jesus spoke to you.